Chapter 6. Hadley was sure that he had been asked to leave Pritchard's office because the director wanted to brief the others while he wasn't there. He just hoped that they weren't planning to blame him for what had happened at the Wimbledon house. And the questions about Sally's lack of promotion were completely out of order. Pritchard had no right to be second-guessing him. Hadley was in charge of the footy houses. He decided who went where and when it was time for them to move on. He looked back at the closed door to Pritchard's office. Part of him wanted to go back and continue the discussion, to argue his case that Sally Page simply hadn't been ready to move into Thames House. But he knew that the time wasn't right. He had to choose when to fight his battles, and now definitely wasn't the right time. What was important right now was to find out who had attacked and killed his footies, and to prove to everyone that what happened wasn't his fault. He took the lift down to the second floor and walked along to the Legends office. As with most of the doors in Thames House, there was no sign, just a number. Hadley opened the door and Susan Murray looked up from her computer terminal.
"Ian, hello, this is a surprise," she said.
Murray had been with the security service for more than 20 years and prior to that had worked for the British Library for another 20. She was close to 70. But there was no pressure on her to resign. She had a razor-sharp mind and an almost faultless memory. Her hair was a uniform dark brown, and the wrinkles on her bird-like face suggested it was dyed. But Hadley had never seen grey roots, and had come to assume that she had just been blessed with good genes. She wore a pair of reading glasses on a gold chain, but Hadley rarely saw her use them.
"Business or pleasure?"
Murray worked for Hadley. But her length of service and impeccable record meant that it often felt as if their roles were reversed. She kept a close eye on all the legends used by MI5 and dealt direct with the footies and shoppers when she had a specific request, though she always made sure to copy Hadley into any emails. It was Murray who generally handed out the legends as and when they were needed. And she had dealt with pretty much every officer working undercover at some point. Over the years, a lot of those officers had moved up the ranks, which meant that Murray had a lot of friends in high places.
"I've a bit of an unusual request, Susan," he said. "I'm going to need a list of all legends out of the Wimbledon premises that have been allocated over the past 6 months, and who they were allocated to. Operational references, too."
"Easy peasy," she said.
"Really?
It'll take me a couple of minutes," she said.
She peered down at her keyboard and tapped away on it with two fingers.
"I thought it would be quite complicated," he said.
"No, it's all on the database. We label each legend with a code that tells us the premises it came from and the names of the footies and shoppers who had any input. So a simple search will give me all the cases."
She grinned up at him.
"And there we go."
A laser printer started up and began spewing out pages. Murray looked at her screen.
22 legends have been issued that were maintained in Wimbledon over the past 6 months, she said. It's been quiet. There are another 15 that were issued prior to 6 months ago, so there has been no input from the staff.
Could I have them as well?
Of course, she said.
She tapped on her keyboard again. In total, more than a dozen sheets were printed. She gathered them up and handed them to him.
Has something happened? She asked. Something I should know about?
Murray knew all the footies and shoppers, present and former, and she would be hit hard when she found out what had happened to the Wimbledon staff. Hadley was under orders not to tell anyone what had happened, but lying to Murray was not an option. She was a vital part of his team, and without her support, his life would be a lot more complicated.
"You can't tell me," she said quietly, concern etched on her face. She was as skilled at reading people as she was at handling legends, Hadley knew.
"Orders from the top," he said. "I'm sorry."
"So it's bad?"
He held her look for several seconds and then slowly nodded. She looked pained and she reached for a small gold crucifix she wore around her neck.
"I think everyone will be told sooner rather than later,"
he said.
They're just trying to work out what to say.
Tears swelled up in her eyes, but there was a defiant thrust to her chin.
I'm so sorry, Susan. If it was up to me. It's all right, Ian. I understand.
She nodded at the printouts.
I just hope they help. I'm sure they will, he said. And obviously, mum's the word until there's an official announcement.
Of course, she said. She sat down and wiped away a tear with the back of her hand.
I'm a silly old woman. No, you're not, Susan. Far from it.
He flashed her a sympathetic smile and slipped out of her office.